Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Today is actually a very exciting day to do a podcast recording because here's a fun fact. I actually have a necklace with the 3rd of January on it. Probably the most pointless purchase I've ever made. I decided in my pregnancy that I would get my due date on a necklace so I could wear it with pride. Didn't actually think about the fact that the baby rarely comes on the due date. So now I have a necklace with the 3rd of January 2021. No, 2020. Wait. We are in 2022. There we go. Mum brain. Happy New Year. Happy New Year, by the way. Hope you all had an amazing New Year. As you can see, my brain works no better this year than it did last year. I'm still surviving. I still feel like a new mum, but would not recommend to anyone listening who is pregnant getting the due date as something to put on a necklace. But because it's almost a year to the day since Alf's first birthday, actually next week will be his first birthday. So what I was thinking was maybe this week I could do a very special podcast recording with the elusive Tommy. I thought that could be quite interesting. Obviously that you would get to hear his side as opposed to just listening to me complain about him. No, he's great. But I can't believe it. It's been a year. Definitely, as cliche as it is, they do say it goes fast, but what a journey. And I thought the perfect podcast guest for this week would be a really funny good friend of mine who has a 3.5-month-old son, Reuben. And obviously because she's still in the kind of earlier stages of it, I just thought it'd be nice to like reminisce about pregnancy stage and the newborn stage and catch up with her. So that is what I'm going to do today. I'm very excited about today's guest. I know Tom will be very excited about today's guest because even though she's my friend, he talks about her more than me. It is Kat Shoup. She is a DJ, a TV and radio presenter. She's on Tommy's favourite radio station, Magic. And what I love is this quote, which I don't know if it's one of your agents or old agents, but it says, Kat has grown in repute to become one of the most entertaining and genuine celebrity DJs on the circuit. That's quite high praise.
Well, I didn't come up with that. That's hilarious.
I'd love it if you did.
Well, yeah, can you imagine? Put that noted. I don't even know what that word means.
What, genuine? The word genuine or the word entertaining?
Yeah. Either.
I think that's because you are also a mum to baby Rube. Do you call him Reuben or Reuben Franklin?
Oh, I wish I don't know. Do you know what we call him? Rubes, actually. Just Rubes. We've shortened it to Rubes, already shortened. And he sort of is starting to respond to Rubes as well when you shout it. I mean, it's just a sound, isn't it? But yeah.
That's quite clever for 3.5 months old.
Well, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Everyone's
Alf's only just started to respond to his name and he's 11 months, so he must be thick as a plank.
No, it might be because I'm clapping in his face and shouting it at the same time. But yeah. Do you know what as well? When we named him, so he's got two middle names because my boyfriend's got two middle names and it was something he wanted to do. And one of his middle names is Innes. And everyone asked me after it, they were, why have you called him after the biggest TV villain on Married at First Sight? Do you remember in the last?
Oh my goodness, yes. What a character she is.
I just wanted to keep her dream alive. No, it's his dad's middle name. It's Scottish. But everyone was like, why have you called it after that girl on Married at First Sight?
I love as well that it's called a middle name, but you just went for both, which to be fair, are both still in the middle.
Yeah,
so it works.
Exactly. Just keep adding them.
So Reuben Franklin in his Sutar.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Took my boyfriend's surname.
Yeah, so did Alf. So did Alf.
Weird, isn't it? I'm sort of fine with it. And then when I say it, when I hear it shouted at the doctors, I'm like, Shoup.
No, but I don't, do you know what? I don't mind at all, really, because I don't, I mean, you've got like probably one of the coolest surnames ever, whereas James, meh.
It's a like, hard one.
Do you know what I mean? If he was like Alfie James, is it any different to Alfie Andrews? Like, do you know what I mean? Whereas if my name, my friend Jazz is called Jasmine Barcelona.
Oh,
if
wow.
my surname was Barcelona, he'd be Alfie Barcelona. No yeah. questions asked.
Not but changing that. That's amazing.
I don't really feel any way in particular about my name or Tommy's name, to be honest. No offence to either
name.
Families.
It's just a name. It's fine. It doesn't really make much difference.
I also realised that I clearly have much more affinity to his first and middle name, which is Alfie Rivers, because when we booked his holiday to Mauritius, not only did I put his name on the British Airways travel documents as Alfie Rivers, I also did it on his COVID PCR test that we needed to get into Mauritius. And it was only the night before, Tom was like, "You've put his name wrong." And I was like, "What?" He was like, "Yeah, you've put Alfie Rivers." And I was like, "Yeah." He was like, "He's called Alfie Andrews." And I was like, "Oh, yeah."
Oh, yeah. Apologies.
I was like, can I blame it on the lack of sleep?
Do you know what, though? You going away with the baby at that point is so, I mean, is amazing. It is so amazing. We thought about, and we're trying to get him a passport at the moment, but even the thought of trying to pack things up, even when we go and visit family, the car is full. The thought of packing for a holiday makes me feel physically sick.
Well, we also did pack his grandparents.
Ah, yes. Yeah, essential items.
Do you know what? I feel like it was all right, you know, because they get quite a lot of travel allowance. Like, I thought he'd have to like share my luggage, and I was like, I am not sacrificing
not.
My Dyson Air wrap. I'm not sacrificing. I was like, how are we going to do this? Tom, you're going to have to cut everything by half. But no, it was all right. He had loads of luggage. You can take a pram, you can take a car seat or a travel cot.
Okay, I'm still not brave enough for it, but yes. Okay, that does sound easier and better.
Rube's still, he's still only 3.5 months. I feel like by, well, I mean, I'm pretty sure by 1 month I was like, I need a holiday, but it just wasn't possible.
Do you know what though? This is the thing I found in the beginning. If my boyfriend hadn't forced me to go out of the house, I probably would have stayed in for 3 months. He was really good at like, we're going to the beach today, like when he was about 3 weeks old. And I was like, what, you and Ruben are going to the beach or what? And he was like, no, we're all going. I was like, okay, cool. But if I would have stayed, I would have happily stayed in the house for 3 months. But actually forcing myself to get out early on was like the best thing I could have done for myself as well. Just like getting up and just getting straight out of the house.
That's good. Yeah, because I really didn't do that. I don't even think I wore a top for about 4 months.
Because it's scary, the outside world. And also you were in the middle of a pandemic.
I mean, so were you. We still are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Right.
It's mad, true. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a really weird world. It is. It's really strange.
But how are you getting on? Because I feel like, so Kat is actually my friend and we've not really spoken.
I know, weirdly. I mean, we've spoken in bits, but we keep meaning to meet up and we just haven't yet. It's just, I mean, COVID, everything going on, but and the world just being a bit weird. But we haven't actually moved closer to each other recently, so it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, do you know what? It's good. It's fine. It's, are they the right words? Good and fine.
I feel like fine is a bit of a word like nice, where
yes.
I'm just surviving.
How do I
surviving?
Describe this? Yeah, it is that. And also, it's just such a shock to the system. Everything I thought it was going to be, birth, everything. Like, I went in thinking, I don't know, I thought I'd handle stuff a lot differently. And I'm quite a strong-headed person. And I was like, I'm definitely going to tackle birth in the way that I'll just get through this, like a warrior woman. And it just crumbled as soon as I got there. It just was not, it was nothing like I thought it was going to be.
Interesting. Because me too, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I kept saying, well, I've run marathons and I didn't really train and it's just a mental battle. If I can run a marathon, I can give birth to a child, you know, it's so natural. People have been doing it for years. It kind of broke me. I think after 12 hours when the midwives were like, we're just going to go home and nap and we'll be back before the birth. And I was like, what? Please tell me you live next door to the hospital.
You've got beds here, right?
Yeah. Do you mean a quick 5 minutes and then we're back to it, yeah?
That was the thing. Even on the lead up, people were saying how bad it was. And I was thinking, yeah, but not for me. Like, I'll definitely be all right. And then the contraction started. And I was like, this is much worse than I thought. I was like, oh God, this is terrible. This is really awful.
By the way, really trigger warning for anyone who is listening pregnant. I actually do have friends that had really good births.
Yes. And this is the thing. I've got quite a few friends who had really lovely births. And I was like, okay, this is going to be all right. But you know what? I got there and it was sort of like 24 hours. I'd gone into labor on the Monday night, and then 24 hours later, they gave me gas and air, and I was like, this is absolutely fine. Gas and air is fun. This is really, really good. And then they induced me. And I think that's where, well, it was the beginning of like all the madness, to be honest. My body wasn't ready for it. I was like half a centimeter dilated. They induced me, and my body just went into just contraction after contraction after contraction. It felt like someone had poured cement into my tummy is how it felt, because it just went so hard, like with the contractions. And then every time I had a contraction, his heart rate dropped.
Aww.
And yeah, it was scary. Like I wasn't really aware of what was going on, but I remember looking at my boyfriend, and he was just like, his face had just gone a shade of green and white I've never seen before. And he just ran out of the room, went and got the midwives. And then it just was a bit of a blur. And he, you know, eventually it was emergency C-section. It was the best thing that could have happened in that situation. And you just want them out at that point. You know, everything's like going through your head, and you're like, I just want them here safe. And yeah. They do, you know, they do the best that they can to get them here safe. And I was in, you know, great hands all the way, but it was definitely more like, I was like, okay, no, not what I thought that was going to be. I definitely thought I'd handle it better, to be honest.
How did you find, from the moment they said emergency C-section, what went through your head? Like, were you just like, whatever gets him out safe, or?
Yeah, it was. It was exactly that. And actually, it was a relief, because then it was no longer in my hands, because it was struggling and his heart was dropping. And so I was just like, well, he needs to come out. He needs to get out. But there was someone having a C-section at the time, and do you know what? The midwives were so overrun. A lot of them had been there 24 hours. They were in a handover meeting at the time when his heart rate started dropping. So it was all quite a scary, do you know what? It was probably 5 minutes, to be honest, but it felt like a lot longer. And I just went into this state of, they kept saying, right, well, we're coming back to check on you. And I was like, how long? They were like, in a bit. And I was like, I need exact minutes. And they were like, 20 minutes. And then like, apparently I looked at my boyfriend, like, honestly, 30 seconds later, I went, how long has it been? And he's like, 19 and a half minutes. And I was like, oh God.
It's so weird. I had absolutely no concept of time when I was in that situation. Like, I didn't even know how many days I'd been in there. Turns out it was like less than one. I think it was 18 hours, but I was like, what year is it? Are we still in lockdown?
Who's the prime minister? I don't know anymore. Yeah. It's really weird. It's because of the pain as well, you know? And actually, after 24 hours, 24 hours are gone. And although my initial thought was the contractions are awful and so painful, by 24 hours later, I was sort of coping with them. And your body does just naturally cope with it. But it was the induction that screwed me, I think, in that sense. Because I don't know, as soon as I had the epidural, I was like, oh, okay, things are good. We can do this now. And then they were like, no, we've got to get them out. And I was like, okay, that's what's happening.
How was the recovery from C-section? I mean, are you still recovering 3.5 months later? Or
no, and this is the thing. I was up and walking about 2 days later.
Wow.
It was weird. It was very strange. There was a lot of pain. But I was on meds, and, you know, I was really strict on making sure every 4 hours they were in my gob. I was like, I had a little bag, like this little pink bag that I was carrying around the house with me. I was like, where's the pink bag? Where's the pink bag? And the recovery was actually fine. It was all right. It wasn't, you know, it's major surgery, but I actually found it okay. I struggled to take him out in the carrier or anything like that, or have any pressure on my tummy. But actually, I found it all right. I found it okay.
That's really interesting, because I was desperate to get Alf into a baby carrier, because I had one of those like really overpriced but look amazing Artipops, the leopard print one. And I bought it in my pregnancy and I was like, I cannot wait to get my child in this. I think I have my dog in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in the build-up.
Isn't there a yin and yang one as well?
I've got that one. Yeah. I cannot wait. And my pelvic health physio Marta was like, please stop carrying your child around, like, you do know that you're recovering from childbirth, like, you're basically loading up your pelvic floor in the same way that you wouldn't carry weights around. And I was like, oh yeah. And I feel like we're not really told about that, like, you just kind of presume that's what you do when you're a mum. Well, fling them out, let me get the sling out. And they say all this stuff about bonding, and then I was like, oh, so that's why I'm weighing myself, like, I'm loading up my very weak pelvic floor.
No, he was in the pram. I didn't take him for a walk in the carrier for about 8 weeks, maybe more. maybe a little bit longer. I was too scared to do it. And actually, I'm glad that I gave myself that time. But it wasn't it must have been a conscious decision in there somewhere. But I just didn't feel ready for that weight to be on my tummy. It was still quite tender.
I mean, great. And great that the recovery was good. And
yeah, the scar's all right. You know, the scar's, it's there. And it's very strange. But, you know, I was never going to be like Miss Hawaiian Tropic 2022. So, you know, it's fine, isn't it? To be honest.
I didn't even know there was a Miss Hawaiian Tropic 2022. I wonder who she is.
I don't know, but I'm going
to
look out for her.
You could be, because I feel like you deserve it more than whoever Miss Hawaiian Tropic is. And do you know what? I have to say, I'm quite fascinated by, I mean, childbirth in general fascinates me, like how on earth we do this. And then people just do these announcements like mother and baby doing fine. And I was like, how are they fine?
Like, what are they doing? What are their secrets?
Yeah. But I'll tell you who I loved, who I love following is Chessie King. I don't know if you follow her on social media.
And yes, I do.
What I loved about her is that she was showing off her C-section scar and you could see pubic hair because obviously you can't shave or anything. And I was like, I love that because, we absolutely all have pubes unless you've had them lasered off. And it was just so refreshing to see it as it is.
I know. I remember showing the doctor and then after going, oh my God, my pubes. Oh my God. And I wanted to go back in and go, sorry about that, but it's too late.
It's so funny because even like my friend Jazz hasn't had kids. And when I was starting contractions, Jazz was like, silly question, but have you shaved? I was like, that is the last thing on my mind right now.
I don't care. It's just, and the dignity of it all is so funny. Like you go in and you're sort of like, oh, could you keep the curtain closed, please? Every time someone goes in and out. And then 24 hours later, they were trying to wheel me down to have the surgery. And I didn't even have the gown on. And I was like, let's go. And they were like, Catherine, because obviously they call me Catherine, like, you know, my Christian name. They were like, Catherine, you have to put the gown on before you go. And I'm like, everyone's seen it before. Let's just go. Just in my white socks, trying to wheel myself backwards in this. Oh, it's just wild. It's wild. It's actually sort of kind of funny when you look back on it. There's some real like comedy moments that were involved, but at the time it just felt so surreal.
I still think it took me like a few days to kind of like find my dignity again because my boobs were so sore when my milk came in, and Tommy's mum used to be a nurse. And anyway, I was like, my boobs are so sore. And she was like, would you like me to massage them for you? I was like, yes, please.
Yes.
And Tom still talks about just walking into the bedroom and seeing his mum like massaging my boobs as I'm just like lying there naked. And he was like, this is weird.
Can you imagine Freud, what that would do to him? I mean, it's seriously, after the things that he's seen, like, it is incredible. Like, there was a point where, like, after the induction, there was stuff coming out at the top end of me, the bottom end, and my boyfriend was just stood there, like, didn't know which end to catch first. Like, it was just, dignity was completely gone.
To be fair to Tommy, I do keep saying, did I poo? Did I poo in childbirth? And he was like, I don't know. And in my head, I'm like, he knows. That's a yes. That's a strong yes.
That was the biggest worry. And like, actually, I look back on it now, I'm like, oh, a little poo would have been fine. Like, out of all of it, I don't think that's the biggest worry.
God, it's mad because, yeah, I had, well, similar to you, that they were worried about Alf's heart rate. So I just remember getting on all fours and pushing, like even between contractions, which I think is why my recovery was so hard with like prolapse and fecal incontinence and all of it. But part of me was like, I shouldn't be embarrassed about any, or none of us should be embarrassed about any of that part of the recovery of childbirth, because to push out a baby when, like, I mean, that's all I cared about, whether or not I pooed or had stitches or any of the things I worried about in the build up to it. When you hear that your baby's heart rate's dropping, like, all you really care at that point is like, I need to get this thing out safely.
You do. Yeah. It doesn't matter what they say. Like, it was even epidural. They're like, you know, we're going to put this in your back. And, you know, you have to sign things, don't you, to say, you know, if I don't walk again and all the rest of it. And at that point, you just like, I don't care. Just get him out. Like, you don't think past that moment. And just, I remember the anaesthetist trying to get me out. So I had my bikini on because I was hoping for a water birth. And I got a new bikini from ASOS and I got in. I was nearly cut out of it about 24 hours later because I was still in it. Like, no, you're not having a water birth. It's like, oh no, I've got my Love Island water bottle. I was like, I really want
did
water
you
birth.
Actually?
Yes,
ready for that Instagram moment.
Yeah. I was like, my boyfriend. I was like, just keep taking pictures, and like the pictures stop, like when we went in and I'd like having an ice, like there's nothing till like 1 a.m. where he's out the next day. And like, it's so funny.
Oh my God. Well, I kept saying to Tom around the midwife, like, please take pictures. I really want to get pictures. Like, you see all these lovely photos of like the moment your baby's put on your chest and you feel love for the first time, or so they say.
Yeah.
But so anyway, my midwife heard these conversations, and obviously Tom being like, oh, I don't really want to be taking pictures. And I was like, it's my childbirth. Anyway, so she, halfway through pushing, bear in mind, I was worried about the heart rate. I was in a world of like pain and hell. I was in a world of pain and hell, and she was like, oh, do you want me to take some pictures? And in my head, I was like, I don't care about the pictures. But anyway, she did. And they weren't quite the ones I was expecting. So the pictures I have from childbirth are literally like Alf's head coming out. I was like, oh, probably not one.
Wow.
I mean, it's quite fascinating to see, but I probably won't be showing them off on his 18th birthday.
Well, unless he behaves.
Yeah, I'll hold that over him forever. Like, do you want me to show these to your friends?
That's the thing. I'd seen friends who had had planned C-sections and they look lovely in there. Like, they've got pictures after it. And I did, you know, they'd got their eyelashes done, the hair done before they'd gone in and everything. Like, mine look so awful. I've got this like shower cap thing on my head that's like half coming off. I've got this single strand of hair that's coming down the centre of my forehead from the back of my head. And I was like, my boyfriend's like, why didn't you move that? Why did you think that that would look nice? Like, not that anything looked nice at that point, but I was like, these are the first moments with the baby, you know? And I'm like, why did no one move that piece of hair? And that was my worry after it, because you're just so out of it. You're just like, oh no. But yeah, do you know what I saw on telly after it? It was about 2 weeks later when my hormones were just all over the place. I'd seen Tommy and from The Only Way Is Essex, Tommy and Georgia, they had a reality show and she had a planned C-section. And yeah. I watched it on telly and it was so beautiful and so calm the way she went in, had the baby, that I just burst into tears. I was sobbing. And my boyfriend came in and was like, what's the matter? I was like, Tommy and Georgia had a really lovely C-section and I didn't. Like, okay, who are Tommy and Georgia? It's like, The Only Way Is Essex people. And he's like, right, do you know them? I was like, no. I was like, okay.
He was like, not a shower cap in sight.
No, she looked lovely.
The moment you managed to hold Reuben for the first time, was it love at first sight?
It was, and I did feel a real rush, and my boyfriend has admitted, he said that he didn't at first, he was sort of looking at him like, oh, okay, this is our baby. So I know it's our baby, but I he was put in my arms, and I remember just doing like a quick scan, even though, so, because obviously with the C-section, the partition is up, when they put them on you, he's sort of right around my neck, so I couldn't really see. I was like, oh, yeah, he looks lovely. But I couldn't really see because he was sort of like, I was wearing him like a scarf, basically, like for about 5 minutes. But yeah, there was a real rush of love. But it's amazing how 3.5 months now, I mean, he looks so different. But I did think he was gorgeous. I did think he was utterly beautiful. And looking back now, I'm like, oh, no, it's Mother Nature doing her thing. Like, cute now, but like, you know, at the time. No, and I know a lot of people, you know, I've got friends who didn't. They were like, what is this damp squid that's been put on me? Like, this is like, this does not feel like my baby. But yeah, I did have that initial rush with him.
See, it's so interesting because I really didn't, and I was expecting to, especially because I've always had my dog Snoop. Well, I've not always had my dog Snoop, but I've had him for like 7 years, and people would always like annoyingly say to me, you don't know what love is until you have a baby. And I was like waiting for this moment. Obviously, he came out healthy and I was so relieved. And they put him on my chest and I was like, oh. Like, I was kind of a bit like, oh. And I said to Tom, do you love him? And he was like, yes, oh my God, he's amazing, like crying. And it was this like beautiful thing. And I was like, I didn't really like recognize him. I mean, how would I recognize him? I just met him. But I was a bit like, God, I feel like we're just taking this tiny little stranger home. And I remember being like really excited to go home and see Snoop, being like, no, still love my dog. Like, so, and then being like, hello, like you live here now. Hope you like it. I think it took me a good while. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, after a week or two, I absolutely love Alf. And obviously I love him now, but I really felt guilty for not feeling that sudden love.
Yeah, but it's a stranger. And also he looked nothing like I thought he was going to look like. I had so many pictures in my head. So it is a shock. It was a shock. I was like, oh.
Did he look like your boyfriend?
No, he looked like me. Well, yeah, he's got my eyes. So he immediately looks like me when his eyes are open. But when his eyes are closed, he really looks like my boyfriend. So it was a really weird mix.
He really looks like you now.
I know. And that's really weird, apparently, for your first one, right?
Well, I think Alfie is starting to look a bit more like me. It's funny because I'm like, Alf's getting so much cuter and people are like, he's starting to look like you. And I was like, well, there is my narcissism.
Yes.
And I actually don't know the answer to this, but I remember we were chatting when you were pregnant. I think maybe I'd given birth, but we were talking about breastfeeding and the fact that we've both got big boobs. And yes. I remember you saying that you were terrified at the thought of having to get boobs out in public. Yeah. Did you, what happened there? What is your feeding journey and story?
So I am still feeling like I don't feel as comfortable breastfeeding in public. I still don't. I've done it, but I still don't feel, I think it's amazing what you've done. And I think it's incredible. And the thing is, I've got friends who breastfeed when we're out, and no one bats an eyelid. But for me, I still feel uncomfortable because being bigger chested, I feel like it's a bigger event. You know, you've got to hold a boob, you've got to get hold the baby. There's a lot of wrangling going on. And a friend of mine who hasn't got as big boobs was like, I didn't get it before, but she said, I totally get it now. Like, I see why it feels very different. But I combi feed. So I was doing, in the beginning, like first 2 months, I think I was doing about 3 breastfeeds a day and the rest bottle. It's sort of coming to a natural end now, just because he now doesn't like taking the boob because it takes too long. And I get punched in the tits basically by my child because it comes out faster with a bottle. So therefore, you know, why would you want it on the boob when it's coming out faster when you're used to that, you know? It's for him because he's a greedy little thing. It doesn't come out quick enough for him. So I was expressing a lot. And which was fine because I wanted him to still have the boob milk, but it was hard to keep up with the expressing and make sure that it was happening. Because the minute you stop, even a day, if you don't do it for a day, you can see that there isn't as much milk. So it's been tough keeping it up to do both, and I'm glad that I did both. But I really like breastfeeding as a thing, and I'm feeling a little bit, because it's coming to a bit of an end, I'm like, oh, that connection that me and him is gonna not quite be there anymore. But I thought I was gonna hate it, to be honest. I thought I was absolutely gonna hate it. I remember having conversations with you like, I just don't want to do it. I just don't want to do it. But I have tried to do it when I'm out. And I remember like a week after we'd come out of the hospital, we went for a little walk and we came across Margarita Mondays in a pub. And so we went in and I was like, right, before I have this margarita, I'm just gonna pop him on boob. And I was feeling really confident about it. And I was like, we were in the pub garden and he was screaming. I was trying to wrestle him. It was like all over the place. And I was just a bit shaky. So I just put him down and just drank the margarita. I was like, you can have a bottle while we're out then. That's absolutely fine. And I don't know. I think what you've done is incredible. I think it's utterly incredible. And I've got friends who breastfeed when I'm out and it doesn't make a blind bit of difference. Like it just doesn't, you don't even notice it's happening half the time. But I don't know. I still find it hard. I still find it hard for me. Like my boobs are, you know, as I said, it's a bit more of an event getting them out. It feels holding the baby, holding a boob.
Do you know what? It's great that you've actually found something that's worked for you because.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was going to, but it was, we were in hospital still and I was on the second day and I was like, can I have the bottle yet? Can we put one bottle as well? Is that going to happen?
I speak quite a lot with Lucy Meck, who, I think she might still breastfeed and Roman's 18 months. Yeah. And she was saying to me that while she's got a few kind of trolls online with breastfeeding, she hasn't really, whereas I have quite a lot. And, you know, I'm told that I'm an attention seeker and there's lots of commentary. Luckily, I haven't had it a lot in the real world, although I did have a couple of negative experiences, like people trying to get me to go to a disabled loo to feed him and stuff.
Oh my goodness.
All in all, it's more the response online. And you know what? I realized that this isn't unique to me breastfeeding. This is a response to big boobs because
yes.
I feel like probably yes. like you, we have had it ever since we had boobs. There's been commentary on what we should wear, not distracting boys, not distracting teachers, not looking slutty, looking frumpy. There's been so much policing or judgment on our bodies. And I think that is why I was terrified at the thought of breastfeeding when I was pregnant. And I didn't know whether I would want to or be able to do it because I was like, oh my goodness, I got to my 30s and finally was like, I don't care what people think. I'm going to dress to make myself feel good and my morals aren't defined by my boobs. And then suddenly I'm like, wait, I have to wear outfits that allow me to get my boob out really easily, but
yes,
not too easily that people think that I'm asking for it. Okay. And it was interesting to me to hear Lucy Mech even say to me, like, she hasn't had it as much as me. And I think that's what's kind of almost like spurred me on for doing it. And look, I'm glad that you found a solution for you where, you know, you can combi feed and it is the perfect solution, because why should you have to feel uncomfortable when you're out and about? Even if that discomfort is in your head, it's a valid discomfort. And people just don't like boobs.
No, but they do like boobs. And that's the problem too. It's sort of, for years I've sort of had to, not had to, felt like have had to hide them away. So you're right. The thought of them being functional and being out and being for everyone to see in a public place scared the life out of me. I did try it. I did have a go. And I just didn't feel that comfortable doing it. And I, you know, it's a shame. And I wish I'd been more comfortable. But like you said as well, I've got a friend who's got smaller boobs, and she said she hadn't realized that, which when I was saying in the lead up to it that I was a bit nervous about it and everything like that. But she said, having seen it, she's like, I can see that it is more of an event, you know, there's a lot more going on. Like, she'll just sort of lift the top, pop him on underneath, off you go. And like, there is a bit more to it. But, you know, it shouldn't have to be that you feel that way. And, you know, I spent a fortune on bras as well. That's the thing, you know, getting bigger boob bras that were functional and still made me feel okay. They're not cheap. You know, I spent about, I don't know, 90 quid, I think, on a couple of bras, because that's how much they cost to get them. And it's just, nothing's really geared up for having bigger boobs and breastfeeding, even though, you know, it is the most natural thing. But I think what you've done has been incredible, because you're really flying the flag for bigger boobs. And I wish I'd been brave enough to do it. I wish I was brave enough to do it. Again, it's another thing that I thought I was much braver about this stuff.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Paranormal Activity with me, Yvette Fielding, a brand new podcast bringing together people's real ghost, extraterrestrial and paranormal stories, as well as getting some inside details from those who study the supernatural. I'll be listening through your paranormal stories every week and try to understand them, as well as chatting about my own encounters with an occasional paranormal investigator too. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts from, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Acast. Just search for Paranormal Activity with Yvette Fielding.
I hate this whole thing that I found in motherhood. I don't know how you found it, but there seems to be like just a lot of like judgment and divisiveness over feeding a child and sleep. And ultimately, if your child is happy and if you are happy, most importantly, who cares? Like, I know what my journey is based on a set of circumstances, how easy I find it to breastfeed now that my milk's in good supply, the fact that I don't have, a 9-to-5 job to go back to, that it doesn't really bother me so much if I'm up in the night feeding. Like, there's so many individual circumstances, not to mention, like you said, it's a lot of it's up to the baby. And I can't imagine caring enough what anyone else is doing to kind of start a war about feeding?
No, I mean, the thing is, I'm sort of, so magic has been amazing about me working from home. So I do my shows from home for the time being. Sometimes I go in if there's something that, you know, I need to go in for interviews and stuff like that. But like mostly I am doing it from home in my own little home studio. And, you know, in between songs, I'm pumping. And it's just so funny. You're sat there and you're like, you sort of stop it. The noise is happening in between, you know, whatever you're playing. And it's just like, God, this, the reality of this is so funny. You know, the first weekend I went back, I was sort of, I was more emotional than I thought I was going to be going back to it. And I definitely couldn't remember how to say things, how to do things. And it had only been 8 weeks. And I was like, oh gosh, I there's a lot going on in my head, a hell of a lot. And I'm pumping in between songs. So it was just, it was a real weird moment looking at myself like, right, this is a new normal.
I have to say that is a reality of motherhood that I really didn't appreciate, like how scary it is to go back to work, especially when you're like, I don't know, pumping or dealing with incontinence still or whatever it might be. I just had no idea.
Also, I was just really emotional too, and things would hit me. I did some bits live. I did a show like in the studio and I was doing a read for a charity. And it was about kids at Christmas and how every kid needs, you know, should have a Christmas or a present to wake up to. I was sobbing. I could barely get through it because it hits differently. Of course it does when you've got a kid and, you know, and I think I wasn't quite ready for how emotional I would feel going back and all the pulling I felt for it. There's bits that along the way that I could have done and I've had to say no to because he had hospital appointments or he had, you know, I didn't realize there were so many doctor's appointments and stuff in the beginning, you know, which is great because they're checking up and they're checking everything's all right. But there's always something in a diary with him. There's always something to go and see, something to do, you know, checkups and things like that. And, you know, there was a day where I was meant to interview a couple of TV stars for being on Magic and thingy. And I couldn't do it because he had an appointment. And there was a part of me that was like, well, I'll just move his appointment. And then I was like, no, I can't do that. Like, I actually can't do that. He needs this appointment. So I'm going to have to say no to that. But it's hard because you're like, you know, the old me is still there trying to fight and be the old me, but I've got responsibilities now. I can't do that.
I find that so hard having to say no. I've had to say no to a lot of DJ gigs because I literally cannot travel around the country at the moment while he needs me.
And there's stuff you physically can't do.
It's so hard, isn't it? Especially when like you're still that same ambitious person. And also probably in a year's time, you will be able to be that same ambitious person.
Of course.
But it's having to miss out on things or just know that the time's not right. Like, you know, before Alf, I was doing lots of these debating shows, Good Morning Britain, Jeremy Vine. Now another one that I keep being invited on is GB News, which I think is the perfect platform for me to go on and debate on because obviously I'm a much more liberal mind. And I love that. But I also worry sometimes that if I were to do it, I might cry.
I know. And you're like, there's every bit of you that's like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. But actually, your emotions are there and they're raw.
Yeah. And I feel like if someone disagrees with me, I just I haven't slept and I'm trying, mother, crying into Nigel Farage.
Nigel, I'm leaking and I'm upset. Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's really tough. We left him for the first time last Saturday with a babysitter. And really brave. I was like, I'm so brave. But he was we got a picture. It was like I'd gone out the door and I had to pop back in for something. And as I came in, I could hear him laughing. And I was like, you little traitor. I've been gone 2 minutes. And then I was on edge all night. I was really on edge because we'd not really left him with anyone that wasn't family. And it was through an app. It was an app called Bubble. And a friend of mine who is a childminder, she works on that app as well. So I was like, okay, well, this is a good advert for it that she's on it. She works on it too. And it was fine. It was absolutely fine. It was time. He went to sleep. He didn't miss me. I felt a pang of like,
so
upset.
Pleased for you. I think that is such a big step because we've left Alf for like a few hours, you know, like obviously me recording this, he's with his nanny who comes like 5 hours at a time, 2 days a week. That's when I get all my work done. Tommy's parents will come and take him for a bit, but because Alf doesn't have a bedtime and he literally refuses to sleep without a boob in his mouth, I still feel like a bit of a prisoner. And I do kind of like envy the freedom that not being on a boob or not using a boob as a dummy, let's say, provides.
Yeah. And I of course
cannot wait to leave the little fucker. Like, I love him to death, but I can't wait. But then I also keep reminding myself, like, the fact that he's almost a year old, wow, like, it's true that, it's such a cliche to say, but it has gone so quickly. So then yes. I tried to keep grounding myself to think, like, it will come. And actually, it's like lockdown. I look back at lockdown and I don't miss the fact that I wasn't at restaurants or DJing.
No, you had really lovely time with him. No, you've had really lovely time, and it's quality time as well. And yeah, I was really nervous doing it. I was really scared. Like, the night before, I didn't sleep. Everything was going through my mind, like all the things that could go wrong, of course. I was just so nervous. I was so nervous, but he was absolutely fine. And now
you've done it. Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would. I absolutely would. But now I'm obviously now in love with the girl that did that. And if she can't do it, no one else can. So I'm like, oh, but yeah, no, it was brave and I've done it. And I think actually just being bold with it, I think it has, but it's not for everyone, you know, it's just not for everyone, but he's been great.
Was that your first date night?
Yeah, it was his birthday. It was my other half's birthday. So we went out. Yeah, it was the first time we'd been away. Both of us have been away. There's always one of us or my sister or my mum who have been there. I don't know if it's an extension, if it's family, it just feels different, doesn't it? But yeah, that was the first time we'd left him. We both got in the car like, oh my God, we were both looking at each other like, this is weird. And then immediately looked at pictures of him, obviously, because with that cliche.
It is hard not to. Sometimes we have to be like, in the time that we get without him, we're like, we need to not talk about him or look at him, pictures of him, because we both know what he looks like very well.
Yeah, I know. And also, do you know what? I know 3.5 months is early to leave him with someone, but I just didn't even ask any friends about it because I just thought, I'm doing this. I'm comfortable with it. I'm just going to go for it. She was comfortable. She's looked after babies before. You know, she looked after newborns. I just thought if I speak to anyone about it, I know that I'm going to get so much input from other people. It's like you were saying with breastfeeding and stuff like that. I was speaking to someone and they'd said, and you know, how are you boob or bottom? I mean, it's so funny how many people ask you, are you boob? And then look straight at your tits. And you're like, yes, that's how it works. She had said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm doing both. And she went, and you mustn't feel guilty about that. And I was like, well, no, I don't. Thanks. No, I don't. I didn't really know, like, the conversation sort of closed after that because I was like, I don't.
Thank you very much. No, thanks. I think you're too right. And also, I don't think it's too early at all to leave. Like, do you know what? Before I had Alf, I 100% thought I would be that person that would be leaving him. And we took him to a creche on holiday because we were like, wow, the hotel has a creche. Let's maximize that. And we got back. We did a hike and got back. And I mean, when we say there was hysterics, and I hate the thought of Alf crying. Like, it's just never something that I mean, who would willingly do it really? But like that she was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I think he was looking for a boob. And I was like, oh, okay.
You know, why didn't you give him one?
Yeah. Could you not have found one? It is mad, isn't it? Like, you just, every child is different, and good for you. Like, I'm happy that you got time with David to spend, celebrate his 40th. Was it his 40th?
Yeah, it was. It was his 40th this weekend. Yeah. Bless him.
Aww. Do you feel like your relationship has changed a lot since having Reuben?
Yeah, I do. In a very positive way. So we've been together 3 years. So, you know, that's not that long in terms of a year of that. I've been pregnant and we've had the baby.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's seen an awful lot is what I'll say from childbirth. But the first couple of weeks, it was weird. I felt, do you know what I found actually? When the maternity pillow went was when I felt like we were back being a couple, because it was like there was a physical barrier in the bed of pillows and everything. And we didn't, you know, we didn't cuddle or like when we did. But like even I had my bump was so big out front, like you just couldn't really, I don't know. It was a weird, we were obviously still very close, but like it's been better since like that's happened, since the maternity pillows are out the bed and since we've been able to sleep a bit better. And like the first couple of weeks, you are just sort of like these two people that are sharing a space that are just trying to keep another human alive. And you just don't, there's no.
I feel like you're describing Tom and I now, 11 months in.
Well, no, you know, it's always going to be different because of everything that's happened, you know, it's always going to be different. But I remember there was a point, because after the C-section, you have to inject and you have to wear socks for 8 weeks, I think it was, like flight socks and things like that. So it was blood thinning injections. And he did that for me every day. And I just remember there was a moment, it was just like, it was a real caring moment, you know, that every day he did that. And because I didn't want to inject myself. I just couldn't do it. And every day he did that and, you know, for 8 weeks. And it was just sort of, I don't know, it's someone really taking care of you, but it was strange. I feel like we're only really just coming out of it now and becoming a couple again, because it takes so much out of you that you don't really have anything left for each other.
It's mad, isn't it? It's so crazy. Because I feel like sometimes, like with Tom and I, we still sometimes forget that, you know, like there's so many logistics and like, right, oh, what time are you finishing this? Because then when you look after him here, then there. And then it's like, even though we're together a lot, like sometimes we like, I forgot to even like ask how each other are or whatever it is.
Yeah. And the first couple of weeks there was, I did find it was we were both going, can you take the baby? Can you take the baby? It was the whole day of each of us trying to pass him to each other. Can you take the baby? Can you take the baby?
I found it really hard not to like feel resentment towards Tom because I found that he would get so much praise for doing like the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Which obviously he does more than the bare minimum, but as in like he would change a nappy and everyone would be like, oh my God, so nice to see a hands-on dad. Whereas I'd be like changing the nappy.
And he's so good with him. He's so good with him. And you're like, I'm good with him. Look how good I am.
I'm a hands-on mum.
Yeah. It's weird. It is. And it's hard not to point score in the beginning too. You know, sleeping is different for each other. Yeah. I naturally wake up all night because I sleep next to the baby, but also my body is just in tune with him. And I just naturally wake up a lot more. And in the beginning, I remember, you know, there was a night in particular, Rubes was screaming to the left of me. David was sleeping soundly to the right. And I was like, I'm mad at you because you're awake. I'm mad at you because you're asleep. And I'm just like in the middle, like, oh my God, what is happening? Just like, but it just all gets better is the thing. It just all gets better. I found the first couple of, like the first 3 weeks you're in a bubble and everything's lovely actually. And then the middle bit I found really hard. I just, the relentless walking, the relentless everything. I just found it so hard. I was just like, this is my life now. And I don't know. I'm really grieving my old life. And then now everything's becoming a bit more enjoyable with him there. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's still fun. That's still fun. Okay.
I love that. I love as well that like, everyone has such unique journeys and timelines, which is why I love getting to like, obviously I love getting to chat to you because you're my friend, but I love getting to chat to people on the podcast because I feel like everyone's journey and timelines of bits that they hated and bits that they loved is so unique to them, because I feel like I found it a lot easier for the first 4 months, and then I was like, oh my goodness, I miss my old life and sleep and all of that, and other people figure bits out sooner. And I feel like it's really nice, like comfort to not to know that other people are like going through bad times, but that it's
no,
I feel like
of course
it's nice to know that it's not all smooth sailing when you're not finding it smooth sailing, I think.
But it's war stories like that you're exchanging too. Like even talking about birth, if someone's had a similar, you're like, yeah, and then that happened. And you're like, oh my God, we both went through it. It's such a weird experience, such a weird, weird experience. But yeah, the first bit, I didn't enjoy it. I'm starting to enjoy it now. And I think, yeah, everyone's completely different, aren't they?
I did actually want to pick up on something that you said earlier, because I remember having a conversation with you when you were still pregnant about like maternity leave and the fact that, you know, you kind of felt pressure, not from your place of work, it should be said, but you felt pressure to kind of go back early because you saw like a few different celebs that work in a similar industry and they went back straight away or earlier. And what made you decide to go back after 8 weeks and how was it? I know that you said it was like emotional, but
it was because they made it so easy, to be honest. And I'm not just saying that. It's like they put everything in place that they were like, you can work from home. We'll speak to you just before to see if you actually feel all right to do it that weekend. We can always get extended cover. Don't worry about it, basically. If you're ready to come back, come back. If you're not, don't. And I chose 2 months off. Do you know what was another factor? That the maternity government pay was not very much. And it was easier for me to just do my shifts on the air. It's easier for me to work than sorting out the government pay. It was just, in the end, I just felt like if I was out of it too long, I felt like it would be more of a struggle to go back for it. And I really missed work. I think because I've worked so much and so long that I was enjoying having the time, but I also, after 8 weeks, I was really ready to go back and do something that felt really normal. And
yeah,
it's a break.
Do you know what? I do think there is a lot to be said for that, because I do feel like people that seem to struggle, myself included, with like missing their old life is because they're almost having a break from it.
Yeah. I didn't want it to go too long. I really felt, you know, in hindsight, I probably could have gone a little bit longer, but because it was so easy to do it, I just got on with it. But as I said, you know, there were tears the first weekend. And a listener text as well, had said something. I can't remember what I said. They're like, you've had a baby, big deal, shut up. And I was like, That was on Magic. I was like, oh, everyone's meant to be nice on Magic.
That's the thing that I find such a weird comment. Like, I get that a lot as well, usually by men on Twitter, but it's like, oh, you think you're the only one that's had a baby? You keep going on about it. And I'm like, no, I really don't, but I literally have no other chat.
Yeah, it's no, that's all I've got to talk about. But also, do you know what? And this is, in total honesty, I'd done one bit. I just said I'd done one bit. Basically, a long story, my boyfriend had befriended a squirrel in the garden and he was giving him nuts. And I was like, we've got a baby here. Like, there's a lot going on. You know, why are you like making mates with squirrels in the garden? There's a lot going on. That's all I'd said. And I just got this barrage of abuse, like, you know, being ungrateful. And I was just like, oh God, okay. Wow. I still talk about my baby on air, but you know, yeah, I chose 8 weeks. It worked fine. I probably could have done with longer, but they were great. They were checking in. And I think, do you know what? In all honesty, they made it really easy for me to go back.
Oh, so I love supportive. Hearing about supportive employers.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was not shocked because they're a great company, but it's in this industry too. It doesn't happen that often. And I have to say they've made it really easy. And it was a pleasure to have that 8 weeks with him, but I was very excited to go back to work.
I'm gonna tell Tommy that his favourite radio station were really great to you, and I'm sure he'll love them even more.
Tommy gets the most shout-outs on Magic that I know.
Do you know what's so funny? So we were driving back from Cornwall on Sunday, and Pandora was on Heart.
Yeah.
Here is another one of our friends. And so he was like, can you text Pandora and ask her for a shout-out? Tommy's so weird. Like, he's like so cool, calm, collected, isn't fazed by what I do, isn't fazed, like, you know, doesn't get starstruck. Like, he's just normal. But getting a shout out on the radio, he's still like a child. Like, that is like the ultimate thing. So he was like, can you message Pandora and ask her for a shout out? And in my head, I'm like, really? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, we waited a couple of links and it hadn't come. Bear in mind, she hadn't even read the message because obviously she's got a job to do.
Yeah. She might be quite busy.
He went, Shuba gives me shout outs.
Oh, no, Tommy. Shube's got no other chat though. She's only got babies to talk about. So,
do you know what? That's
doing me a favor.
Before I had a baby, I was like, I will not be one of those people that only talks about their baby. And then I remember like speaking to a friend who still doesn't have a baby. I say still, she might never have a baby. That's fine. Like, she doesn't have a baby. And she was like, so how's Alf? And I was like, yeah, yeah, good. And filled her in. And then she went, so what else is new? And in my head, I was like, what?
But that is the new.
I don't have any. I've got nothing. I've got nothing else. But in my head, I was like, think of a topic. And I was like, no, that is it. Like,
COVID stuff.
That's it. I have nothing left.
And you know what? I have found that too, actually. Things to chat about within the job. It is different. It is completely different. It is. It's mad. And you feel that pull. But you know what? I'm making it work. It's happening. It hasn't been easy. Like, I would be a liar if I said it was. It's not been easy at all. But yeah, I felt like if I didn't go back when I wanted to and I took longer, I think I felt like I was going to forget everything.
What's been your favourite part about motherhood so far?
Seeing him grow and, well, the bits that are so worth it is when, like, you know, he had a cold the other day and immediately, you know, he wants his mum and he wants a cuddle and, like, his little arms around your neck. That, you know, that is, like, the most magical thing. And you're like, oh, God, he needs me. He needs me. Being the needy person that I am. But seeing him grow and each day, sometimes you don't even notice it. It's subtle, but, like, he started sort of, like, holding his bottle and things like that. And you're just watching someone become a human and, you know, become this person in front of you. And it's just, it's baffling. Like, I still look at him and think, how were you in my tummy? That is still incredible. I still can't believe that I grew him. It's just mad.
Okay.
Like, to see him functioning and see him, like, picking things up as well. Or, like, I don't know, it's tiny little things. If you see him do something, you're like, oh, I smile like that. It's like, oh my gosh, it's me. me. Do you know what? Him watching him grow, and it's so cliche, and I just didn't think that would be the thing, but just watching him grow and watching him with other people. He's a very happy little boy, and he will let you know when there's something wrong. You know, it's usually bottle, whatever, bum, whatever it is. But he's a very happy little boy, and seeing him happy and just going to people and being very sweet is a real proud moment. I think that's the best moment. Yeah.
That's so lovely. To be fair, I agree. I feel like it's definitely made me appreciate all the things that we take for granted, getting him to see, like, experience things for the first time. Last night, I always say he loves his animals. So I always point at different animals and say, what do they say? He can do the fish now. So he goes, but anyway, I said, and what does the monkey say? And he went, ooh, ooh, ah, ah. And I was like, oh my God, he's got it.
Oh, that's adorable. That's so sweet. I can't wait. Those things that I don't want to wish him away. I don't want to wish moments away, but learn when they start things. Interacting has been the real thing. But I think that's why I'm enjoying him now, because he's interacting with me more. And, you know, you feel like you've got a real little person there.
Aww.
And yeah, no, it's a joy. Also, do you know what the other thing that I've really found as well, I care a lot less about everything. I don't have time for anything else. Anything that might have worried me in the past, work stuff, life stuff, anything, to be honest, anything, I just don't have time for it. And I think that has been really lovely too. It's quite freeing to not worry about stuff as much as I possibly would have before.
Kat, I know that time is so precious as a mum, but every week I read out a message from one of my lovely listeners. Rebecca got in touch via email at askmumsthewordpod@gmail.com. So I thought you could help me answer this one. So
okay, she says, I'll give it my best shot.
Hi, Ashley. I just listened to your latest episode of the podcast. I don't know why, but I really felt the need to write. I had my daughter a week before you had Al, so I found following you and your journey super interesting. And while we do things differently, I didn't want to breastfeed, Fierce sleeps in her own bed, etc. You really make me feel quite normal when motherhood isn't so fun. And I love seeing a different perspective on the way things can be done. I left my daughter quite early overnight when she was about 5 months old because my boyfriend had pre-booked a spa day for my birthday. And I'll be totally honest, I didn't feel guilty about leaving her. Instead, I felt guilt about why I didn't feel guilt. Does that make sense? So I don't think it matters what we're doing. I think there will always be some self-doubt in whatever it is. I also went back to work after 6 months off. I'm a general manager of a golf club. I didn't feel ready, but I did have to go back because I wouldn't have been able to survive off statutory. Oh my God, it's like I'm...
Oh my God, it's like you're reading my story.
Echoing what you're saying. I didn't think I'd survive off statutory maternity pay again. I feel guilt about why I didn't feel guilty for leaving her. I think it boils down to people doing exactly what you hate, giving unsolicited advice or asking stupid questions. I constantly get, oh, well, where is she? That must be tough. My daughter also slept through from very early on, which prompts, why are you tired then? As if the constant day-to-day tests of being a new mum aren't worthy of making you tired. Anyway, like I said, I just want to say you're doing an amazing job. Motherhood can be a lonely place, to hang in there. And when times get tough, keep being honest, as it really helps people like me. Thanks again, Rebecca. Oh my God, that is one of the nicest messages. Definitely not a question. So Kat, I don't need your input on that one.
No, and I feel like that is the same person. I feel like I had a very similar story to hers.
Yeah, so it's so funny because I genuinely didn't obviously know what you were going to say and I hadn't read that before.
No.
But Rebecca, that is a lovely message. And do you know what? I'm so glad that you don't feel guilty. Like Kat was saying, like, why should we feel guilty? But I also get the feeling of being guilty that you don't feel guilty. Because
yeah, I do. Yeah.
When I leave Alf, which isn't very often, but you know, when his nanny's here, if I go out, and people will always say to me, like, oh, do you feel guilty? Or you shouldn't feel guilty. But nobody says that to Tom. So it's almost like a given that he shouldn't feel guilty. And I was like, no, absolutely not. I've been looking forward to this all the time. Like, I don't want to feel guilty. But also, it makes coming back to them so much sweeter.
Oh, I can't wait to get through the door. On the way home, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see my baby. I can't wait to see my baby. Yeah, it does. It's made it really lovely. Like leaving him, it's a good thing. It's a good thing getting 5 minutes away. Well, a bit longer, but yeah.
I feel like the moral of the story is don't feel guilty, because also we don't expect the dads to feel guilty.
No. And also, if you don't want to leave your baby, don't feel guilty about that either. Like I was really up and down. I nearly cancelled the babysitter 2 minutes before she arrived. I was still like on the edge about it. I still didn't want to do it. And then it happened and I was like, okay, it's fine.
I've heard really good things about that bubble app, and I won't lie, I have tried to use it, but I think it's still not that good in my area. So there were no babysitters available, but I'm actually going to try it again. It's a good reminder.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's like being back on the dating apps. You're like, not that one. Yeah, that one.
Very different reasons though. Instead of being like, is he fit? It's like, will this person be a good person for my child?
Instead of trying to get a baby, you're trying to give one away to someone to look after. No, not really.
Oh, I can't wait to meet him. It's been so nice to speak to you. I'm going to let you go. And guys, thank you so much for listening to Ashley James' First Time Mum, the parenting podcast. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow buttons so that you never miss an episode. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you can leave a review there. I sometimes read those out as well. And obviously a 5-star rating helps others to find us. I hope that you're still enjoying the podcast. I loved recording this episode with the cat. I've actually don't think I've laughed so much on an episode.
Oh, good. Well, I think that's good.
No, it is good. It's great. I loved it. And we covered some quite serious topics as well.
I know. It's been lovely catching up with you. I can't wait to do it in person.
So nice. Me too. And I can't wait to meet Ruben.
Yeah, I'll bring him over soon.
Thank you. And yeah, we'll be back with another episode, same time, same place, next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.